Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Got sucked into a Fox News clip. Forgot I was supposed to be on the air. Hey, Lee, how you doing?
No, okay, Tara.
All right, so I have very bad, very, very bad, very sad news. One of my goals in life, you got to have goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. One of my goals in life was to get that clunker of mine.
Yeah.
It's at 350,000 miles.
Right.
Yeah. It got demolished last week.
Oh, I had no idea. What happened?
Well, some guy ran into the back of it. I was like at an intersection.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And I was telling Tim this earlier today. So, I mean, it's sad. I mean, I was kind of attached to it. I've sort of been in a funk. You wouldn't think he would be over a car, but I am.
Well, it's been in the family for so long.
Well, yeah, because they picked up, I mean, we drove all three of the kids home from the hospital in that car. Mm-hmm. And it looks like World War III was conducted in the back of it, because for years, I mean, that's the car the kids rode in. I mean, people would laugh at me when I first got here because I had all three of my kiddie seats.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Rambo Loco had really had to use some advanced physics to get all three in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's tight fit.
Well, it is, yeah. And they'd be driving along, they got their sippy cups. You know how kids are with sippy cup. They wave it all over the place, you know what I mean? Like it's a rodeo. So, I mean, it was pretty well stained up back there. I mean, there was nothing ever going to get those stains up, but they were precious to me. You know what I mean? That was my kid. That was my car. Yep. But I was gonna take it to 350,000. I didn't get to, and it's totaled. But do you ever have the thing where Tim and I were talking about this earlier in the show? It's only happened to me twice in my life. It is wild. Where you're in the middle of something where you don't know if you're gonna come out of it alive or dead or not, and time slows down.
Yeah.
And I mean, like it couldn't have been but part of a second or two when he hit me. He pushed me into the intersection, and. It was a very large, very busy intersection, and a lot of cars were coming.
Yeah.
And so I literally had time to wonder, am I going to get broadsided right now? Is a car coming?
Yeah.
And I actually had time to like start to move my head to the left to see if a car was coming and then stop in total dread, not wanting to know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there was a car coming, but fortunately, when he pushed me in the intersection, when he hit me, it was far enough away that the person had enough time to slow down, and then the car started going around me. I didn't get hit, but I could have been killed, and I could have. That haunted me for a couple of days.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, that's a traumatic experience.
It is, and it's only ever happened to me one more. One at a time, this very long set of brick stairs and an old industrial building that the newspaper was in that I worked at, and there was no handrail, and I fell down them head first. And I had time to wonder, as the earth is spinning around me, am I going to die here? And then my second thought was, oh, if I don't die, is this going to bash my face up?
Yeah.
You know, like, what will I look like after? And you're like, this is a fraction of a second, but time just slows down. You have time to have thoughts about what's about to happen. And then I hit hard and it hurt bad, but I didn't die or bash my face up, thank God. But no, that happened to me this week and I was fine. The guy who hit me was very apologetic, sweetest guy ever. Couldn't be mad at him. I mean, it just happened. So.
Yeah.
Total the car, and now we're in the market for a new one, right?
Okay. A new one? You're actually going to buy a new car?
Well, look, that goes against my life code. It does.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm amazed.
But Rambo Loco is out there, and he's looking at these used cars, and it almost doesn't make financial sense because they cost so much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about a car with like 10,000 miles already on it. You know, it's like a $6,000 difference. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. I've actually already had one person text me with a pretty good-looking 2006 Mazda. We'll see. But anyway, this is interesting, okay? If you want to take your car, because I'm going to do this in my lifetime. It's one of my goals. I'm going to take a car to $350,000. I was going to get... You know what, by the way? Does it figure your car gets total right after you repair it?
No.
Yeah, we just had repaired it. Are you
of
kidding
course.
Me?
Yeah.
Just a few weeks before. But
where the repair is actually worth more than the value of the vehicle.
Yes, I know.
No.
And you know, you get that raw deal from the insurance, right?
I mean, these days you can fill up the gas tank and you have, you know, double the value of the vehicle.
Of the car, I know. You don't want to go out with a full tank of cash. You're like, oh, wait, no. I'm going to siphon it. But, and I'll keep it in my garage. But no, so yeah, and they offer you so little for a vehicle like that. And I mean, basically, you know, they didn't offer me enough to pay, make like three car payments on a new car for it. Yeah. So you get, I mean, that car was worth 15, 16 grand to me, at least is what it's worth. Not what it's actually worth, but it's worth to me.
Right, exactly.
Because that's
that doesn't count for the insurance company.
Yeah, that's how much longer I was going to drive it, at least.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I mean.
But that, unfortunately, that's the risk that you take with a used vehicle.
I know.
Or a very used vehicle.
Yeah, I know.
Well-worn vehicle.
Well, here's the good news. These are the top 10 cars that are most likely to make it to 250,000 miles and above. Okay, here's an interesting thing about this list. Six of them are Toyotas.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rambo Loco, being the smart man that he is, he's right. He's on the Toyota dealership. So I was a Honda person. He's a Toyota person.
Mm-hmm.
And I inherited his Toyota, so I became a Toyota person. But, okay, number 10, Toyota Highlander.
Mm-hmm.
245,000 miles.
Right.
Toyota Avalon, 246.
Yeah.
Honda Ridgeline, 249,000. Yeah. Number 7, Chevy Tahoe, 250,000. Mm-hmm. A little surprised by that, but okay. Toyota Prius, I'm skeptical there, but okay, I'm reading the list. 250,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
GMC Yukon XL, 252,000 miles. Toyota Tundra, 256,000 miles. Chevy Suburban, 266,000 miles. Toyota Land Cruiser is number 2, 280,000 miles. And number 1, the Toyota Sequoia, 297,000 miles.
Notice that a lot of those are large SUVs.
You know, I was wondering that. I was wondering if it's because, like, I was surprised there's not a sedan in there, really. Like, well I guess
the Avalon. Yeah.
But, yeah. But, like, you know, the Corolla, which is more along the lines of what we're looking at, right? But then I thought, you know, is that because these bigger cars take them out? You know what I mean? You get into a wreck with one of those bigger cars, and it's going to take out that sedan before you can.
Yeah, but I think it also has something to do with the lifestyle of the driver that would purchase these vehicles.
The big ones?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times you have drivers that are probably taking a little bit better care of the vehicles, maybe driving a little slower, more defensively.
Yeah, because why else would you drive a vehicle?
Because
like
you don't
right?
see any Corvettes or Mustangs or Challengers or Chargers on that list.
No, you do not.
And quite honestly, especially like in the case of some of the V8 powered sports cars, that's pretty much the same drivetrain you'd find in a pickup truck. So, anyway.
That's a good observation. Yeah, I was surprised there were. I thought surely there'd be some smaller cars in there. But anyway, the Toyota trend is good. So.
I had a 1999 Ford Expedition I put over 250,000 miles on.
Good for
now,
you.
Now, I did spend a fair amount of money on it. We had a, what year was it? I forgot. It was an early model Jeep Grand Cherokee that I had inherited from my late grandfather and that I drove, my wife drove, my son drove. We got about 250,000 miles on it, but I think we went through two transmissions and one rear differential. So.
Yeah. Well, I am not happy.
Yeah.
I've been in a funk for a couple of days.
We're
losing a car. I didn't realize I was that attached to it.
Well, it upsets your daily routine.
It does.
I mean, you know, it's the older you get, and at least the older I've gotten, I am increasingly more concerned about, okay, I want to do the same thing today I did yesterday. Even if it's not better, let's keep doing the same thing. At least I know what I've got to face.
Exactly.
And you know, when you walk out there in the morning, it's like, wait a minute. I've got to do a different way to get to work. I'm driving something different. It's, you know, upsetting my schedule and my usual procedure for the morning. So, but good luck on that. This is a fun problem to have.
Yeah, okay, I will admit, having a new car, I haven't had a new car since, like, college when I got a lease, you know, so that'll be weird. But, you know, if anybody knows of a good deal, like, you know, a little woman never drove the car, I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
Okay.
But I'm going to need it to be a Honda or a Toyota, more than likely. I don't know. I might hear what you have to say.
I'm very fond of the Hondas, so I'll put it that way. And not that there's anything wrong with the Toyotas, but I'm very fond of the Hondas.
Yeah, but it is appalling what they're charging for used cars now. I mean,
that's the marketplace at work. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm a free market capitalist, and when it if it is a situation where it's not working for the buyer, well, that's free markets. Then there will come a time when it will start working for the buyer, and that could be soon.
Texter writes, they call the Sequoia the million mile car. Mm-hmm. The texter writes, my F-150 has 290,000 miles. Keep
not
on
surprised,
trucking
forward. Absolutely.
Ooh, I'm driving a 2001 Subaru Forester with 378,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Man. I'll never know how far that car could have gone. You should see it. If you're going through that particular Garlington Road exit, it's a pretty major intersection there with Roper Mountain Road, you know? Yeah, that all that glass scattered
that's
in the interstate, that's me.
That's from the, yeah.
That's me.
Toyota logo with wings on it that is spray painted on the road there.
Yeah. And you know what? That happened, ironically, the same week I was telling y'all, like, per 100 million miles driven, this is the single deadliest state in the nation to drive in. And then, bam, there goes my
car. And guess what happened? It didn't happen in Greer.
It didn't, did it? I don't know if the driver was from Greer, though. I have to look. I have to look. Well, I'm just glad to be alive.
Amen. As the rest of us are.
Yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Folks, you woke up this morning in a fascist country. What is fascism? Look on Google. It's socialism coupled with state corporate control. In other words, favored corporations and businesses favored by the state exert absolute control or near absolute control. That is classic fascism. That's where we are this morning. We've just watched Apple get rid of the AirDrop feature so that the dissidents in China who are being beaten and disappeared could not fight back against their government, while they are fighting to do the same here. Same thing. Telling Twitter, we're going to kick you out of the App Store if you don't censor half of America for the fascist federal government. They're literally doing the same thing on our soil that they're doing in China. They're threatening to do it. It's terrifying. Meanwhile, and all of this to protect the media's ability to lie, because you cannot effectively lie and run a narrative if people are on social media telling the truth. They will get more hits, more likes. They will be followed. They will have more credibility. You can't do that. We now live in an America that is so bizarre and absolutely upside down that the liars win the Pulitzers. And when their lies are exposed, they don't give them back. Washington Post, New York Times share a Pulitzer they have yet to return. It's an outrage for their coverage of Russiagate, which didn't happen. They won it for a series of Russiagate stories, including the Alphabet story. That has now been absolutely debunked. And yet they still hold the Pulitzer and all the esteem and honor that goes with it for their lies about Russia collusion. What happens if you tell the truth, though? What if you get there first? What if you do what it used to be a reporter's job to do? You get fired. You tell the truth, you get fired. You exposed. This was one hell of a reporting job. As a reporter, it makes my heart beat faster. It was so good. Done by NBC News' Miguel Almaguer. He not only exposed the lie in the Pelosi hammer beating, he exposed the Department of Injustice and the FBI for lying in court. They lied in their affidavit. They lied in their submission to the court under penalty of perjury. That's kind of a crime. So what do we do? Well, in the old days, a reporter would report that, probably win a Pulitzer for it, and people would be fired and jailed at the FBI and the Department of Injustice. But today, in this country, the reporter is ejected from the newsroom in shame, his work retracted, and then he disappears. Wait, what? Fox News asking, what the heck happened to NBC News' Miguel Almaguer? Now, let me tell you the story, because the story is wild, and it's also a tale for our times, of how twisted in this media censorship environment this has become. Miguel Almaguer embarrassed the Department of Justice and the FBI. They lied. They lied under penalty of perjury in court. Their timeline's a lie. Their accounting of events, a total lie. God, the federal government scares me. Well, what part was the lie? Well, they would have damn well known what was on those officers' body cams when they went to see Nancy Pelosi's house. They know that Paul Pelosi opened the door and then went back to join his gay lover or drug dealer. One of the two, maybe both. Who knows? The guy he had, by his own admission, called a friend and spent time in the bedroom with. That's weird. Anyway, yeah, he walked away from them. And to the guy, who again he'd referred to on the 911 call as a friend. That whole timeline of events, clearly documented in that video, was rearranged, refashioned, if you will, into a lie that was then submitted to the court. You know, lying for the DOJ and the FBI under a penalty of perjury, no big deal. They do it all the time. They're felons. But Miguel Almaguer exposed them. And then you know what happened next, because we were heading into an election. All of a sudden, with no explanation, NBC News said it didn't meet their standards, and they retracted the article. They retracted his report. It had already run on Good Morning America. It made it past multiple editors. And Miguel Almaguer disappeared. Hasn't been seen since. Now, here's what's weird. Since then, after the election, NBC News has confirmed their initial reporting. He got it right. It's exactly what happened. In fact, it was one of their local NBC Bay Area affiliates that confirmed it. You know what that means? Somebody at the FBI should be arrested. Somebody at the DOJ should be arrested. It's right there in the video, and they got it. It's okay to tell the truth now. The election's over. That's how this works in this country. So where's Almaguer? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Hasn't appeared back on NBC Daily Fixture. He's gone. So you don't want to tell the truth in mainstream media, man. That is a career-limiting move. Believe me, other reporters are learning watching this. You do not tell the truth about the FBI, and you damn well don't tell the truth about the Department of Injustice, especially not when they're breaking the law. Wow. Now, here's the weird thing. When I say disappeared, he didn't just disappear from the newsroom. He's not tweeting anymore. He used to tweet daily, doesn't he? He's not tweeting anymore. Huh. The retweet of his last story at NBC News, Paul Pelosi released from hospital, is the last one he sent. It's dated November 3rd. He tweets every day, or he did. Not anymore. Where'd he go? Why isn't he in public? Look, I'm not suggesting he's like, you know, dead or Epstein or something. I don't know where he is. But look what happens when you tell the truth in a way that we used to celebrate. That was a great get. Every reporter in town would have been jealous of that. He disappeared him in shame because he told the truth. Well, the liars win the Pulitzers. When someone from DOJ stopped by, someone in the FBI stopped by, that's what they do. You know that computer repair shop owner? He said he was threatened by the FBI, that bad things could happen to him if he pursued the Hunter Biden laptop. He ignored that, thank God. So they had to censor it at the Twitter level and the FBI level. Folks, this is a climate of fear. This is so upside down and backwards, morally, ethically. Is the guy okay? I hope he's okay. Anyway, Fox News is asking a question. Where'd he go? One has to wonder, Hot Air writes, whether they're talking about the Fox News report on it, whether NBC News is stuck in a position where they have to keep Almaghar sidelined indefinitely. They clearly don't want to explain themselves, their actions. They removed a reporter from the air and took down his story. He got it right. NBC suspended him for reporting what turned out to be true, but which NBC mysteriously claimed didn't meet their standards. God, the power of the Democrat Party. Presumably, truth isn't a standard at NBC News. They write if it was, they would have restated Almaghar, at least at the time their Bay Area affiliate had confirmed his story. This is two shocking things here. Three, really. Reporter dismissed in shame. Now hiding from the public. He must take those FBI and DOJ threats seriously. Probably should. That they can even do this at a mainstream media affiliate is shocking. This is the pressure our reporters live under. They all saw this. And finally, the biggest shock of all. They got the story right. The FBI lied under penalty of perjury. That's a felony. So did the DOJ. Penalty of perjury. What else are they lying about? Under penalty of perjury. Oh, that whole Russia collusion thing. That's right. They didn't go to prison for that, though. What, do they just regularly lie in court filings? Is that the norm now? And reporters that report that correctly have to disappear, at least from public view. I don't know where the guy is. I hope he's okay. Hope he checks in soon. Somebody call his mama. Dear God, what kind of country do we live in? So, do I have this right? The people who are supposed to be the arbiters of truth on Twitter, as Elon Musk tweeted, this is one of the most shocking tweets he's put out. He's gone through who was censored. Not a single left-wing outlet or account that has spewed lies has ever been censored on Twitter. Think about that. So they're talking about creating an environment in which they can lie with impunity. No big deal, but we can't tell the truth. And when Musk bought it, remember, they were putting together these boards on which mainstream media outlets would serve, and they would be the arbiters of truth. Mainstream media outlets like NBC, who, when a reporter does a job so good, he exposes that the Department of Injustice and the FBI have lied to a court about the timeline in the Paul Pelosi situation. Folks, again, that's a felony. That's shocking. That's under penalty of perjury. They filed it's an affidavit. Timeline's a lie. They had to know that. The whole thing was caught on the body cam of the officer. That's the first thing they would have looked at. And the answer is for NBC News to retract it and suspend the reporter, who has since disappeared. Nobody knows where he is. That's scary. He's not even tweeting anymore. Now, look, I'm not saying he's disappeared or something. Don't misunderstand. I mean, I don't think he's like Epstein or whatever. You know what I mean? But I think that, I mean, wow, you tell the truth and you have to be hidden in shame? Even when your work is confirmed? And this is a shocking story, but it shows you these are the people they want to rule the internet. Now listen to this, okay? Because this is going on right now, and this is very telling too. There is a terrifying piece of legislation that is making its way through Congress. They're going to try to pass it in a lame duck. It would create cartels. It would merge, essentially, give the ability to merge and profit share to big social media companies in the media outlets they choose. It would mandate that more of the ad revenue, because remember, a lot of these local television news affiliates, so like, say, NBC News, right? The big liars there at NBC News, the ones who suspend reporters for telling the truth, people like that, they got killed by social media, right? Because all that ad revenue that used to support them, they'd have more reporters. It's going to Facebook now. It's going to Twitter. It's going to a place like that. Or it was till Elon Musk lost half his customers. Right. So the idea is that Congress would force sharing of the ad revenue, but they could choose who they shared it with. They would begin to operate as cartel-like entities. In fact, the Congress members who are backing it actually use the term cartel, excluding others. Wow, that's scary. Oh, yeah. It would further remove our new media outlets, the ones with the history of getting it right, from social media. It would make them the enemy. It may decimate them. They won't get the profit sharing. But, I mean, Republicans aren't. They're not supporting this, right? That, oh, yeah, they are. Not all of them. But the list of who is telling. You want to know who's co-sponsor in the Senate? Guy who talks a good game, but doesn't walk the walk. John Kennedy. That guy. Oh, he sounds good, doesn't he? Co-sponsor this. It would devastate and create new, stronger monopolies with the essentially the merger of these big media outlets and social media. It would make it harder for Elon Musk to fight his fight to preserve our First Amendment rights. And John Kennedy's pushing it hard. You thought he was one of us, right? He's not. You can't put your name on a thing like that and be one of us. He talks a good game. A lot of them do. Who else is backing him? Ted Cruz. Now, Ted Cruz will tell you, oh, I put an amendment on it. Well, it says you can't discriminate if an outlet's conservative, and it does. But they would still be free to choose who joined their cartels and profit shared with them and who is excluded, both from that arrangement and from being featured in their social media. And they could do it on any other grounds they want. So instead of saying conservative, they could say, Breitbart's a misinformer. Well, they got Russia collusion right. You didn't. And you say, well, Daily Caller's a misinformer. See how this works? Ted Cruz, once he put that means nothing amendment on it, which, by the way, was stripped back off by the House, they're not doing it, so it's not going anywhere. He's now pushing the bill. Okay, so this is literally a fight against Elon Musk when we most need to support him. Ted Cruz, y'all. But this is why I didn't support Ted Cruz. I mean, he talks a very good game, but this is why I didn't support him for president. He has a history of doing squirrely stuff like that when he thinks no one's watching, when he thinks it'll fill up, because he wants to be president, and he thinks it'll fill up his coffers. And the big money is with Google. It's with Facebook. It's with those big tech PACs. They are the number one donors in the last cycle on the Hill, with the exception of the money launderer. Oh, by the way, speaking of money launderer, do you realize what you're doing, folks? I want to point out to you, I got this right, too. Remember last week when we learned that $40 million that had been stolen from investors, right out of their accounts in some cases, at FBX, was then funneled and laundered into the Democrat Party's fundraising coffers, $40 million. I said, there's more. There's more. They've just scratched the surface. I was right. Bloomberg just admitted that it was actually $70 million. They're still looking for more of it. There's more of it. A lot of that's dark money. I guarantee it's hundreds of millions of dollars. That's how they outspent us 4-1. What does this mean? Folks, they are literally taking your they are taking your tax dollars in front of your face and laundering them through Ukraine. That's what they're doing. And again, I mean, when this guy who goes from zero to billionaire with $29 billion, he's not even 30. Out of nowhere? And his mom runs a large dark money organization for the Democrat Party. Come on. And they're cutting Mitch in. They're cutting Mitch McConnell in $2.5 million. That's stolen money. Stolen, laundered money. You seen Mitch give that back? No. You seen Mitch condemn Mitch McConnell, Republicans' alleged leader in the Senate? I use the term leader very lightly. You see him condemn the Democrats for using stolen cash? I mean, you realize right now, if you watch what's going on in the bankruptcy court with that exchange, the crypto exchange, FBX, they're trying to recover the stolen funds. They are stolen funds. They're not, gosh, the guy made some bad investments, lost the money. Stolen funds. And normally, if our leadership wasn't profoundly corrupt, they would be demanding the Democrats give it back. Nope. Now we find out Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy got a share of it. So, I mean, you're talking top level corruption. They don't want to be cut out of that game. How many goes in their packs makes them powerful, makes them kingmakers in a primary. No, they don't get to rule the country, but they do get to decide. They do get to choose who gets elected. That's very, very, you know, makes you very powerful in the Republican Party. Are they condemning the Democrats? No. Have they suggested the Democrats should give their money back? No, because they don't want to give their money back. Stolen money. Folks, poor Tom Brady, he's going to have to play it. He's like 55. Because he liked, I mean, that's him and Gisele Bündchen. I don't know how she's going to look with wrinkly legs on that runway, but she's going to have to get out there and hustle her skinny rear end to replace this money. The Democrats stole it. Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy helped them. But we're up to $70 million now, and that's just drop a bucket. Folks, it's going to end up being hundreds of millions of dollars laundered for the Democrat Party through FBX. Some of it probably going to be your taxpayer money, too, laundered through Ukraine. This is a huge story. But this is how comfortable they are now that they control the system. They're beginning to operate on an international criminal scale. They're like a cartel, like a Sinaloa cartel. And that's why these people want to form media cartels. They think it'll protect them. They're wrong. This is one of the Biden administration's favorite lies to tell. Here you hear John Kirby, spokesperson for the Biden regime, telling it to Peter Doocy. This idea that suddenly, out of the clear blue, oil executives and oil companies, really, they're just lazy. They've got all these permits. They could go get oil, but they just don't feel like it.
Why is it that President Biden would rather let U.S. companies drill for oil in Venezuela than here in the U.S.?
That's not an accurate take on the president's view.
Earlier this month, he said no more drilling. There is no more drilling.
The president has issued 9,000 permits for drilling on U.S. federal lands, Peter, 9,000 of them being unused. There are plenty of opportunities for oil and gas companies to drill here in the United States.
No. Look, a lot of those permits are for exploration. They don't find anything. A lot of those permits are either old or they have tapped out all the oil they can get, or they've tapped out all the oil they can get affordably. In other words, where it makes financial sense. That's a lie they're telling. Remember when Lisa Murkowski said, hey, listen, they're not letting us do new permits? Yeah, that's what Biden's in court fighting right now, is to make sure they can't get the new ones that work. But it's a lie they tell. They lie a lot. It's what they do. But Mark Marino with Climate Depot, explain this and how, like, what they're doing. The other problem here is, remember, with the ECB scores, they can't get loans even when they have permits that they can drill because of the things that the Biden administration is doing. So even on the active ones, they're out there fighting that as well. Take a listen.
On that 9,000 permits drilling, that's one of the Biden administration's oft-repeated talking points. They have defunded the oil and gas industry from day one through executive orders, through the Treasury Department, through pushing environment, social governance, ESG. And they've also allowed these environmental groups, and sometimes in collusion with the feds, to sue. So they give a permit, but then they get tied up for years and years and years, and the funding's questionable, and of course the future permits are questionable. So that is a red herring argument.
Yeah, it's all a game. Now, here's what's interesting about this is what they're doing, he said, is they're cooking the books. They're going to say, oh, we reduced how much carbon-based gas we're releasing. No, they just shifted it offshore.
But what they've done here, this is classic Biden administration. They are literally more concerned about foreign nations and mostly hostile regimes being allowed to drill for energy than they are Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Texas, and American domestic energy. This basically sums up their whole policy. Let's allow the rest of the world, particularly countries with the most egregious human rights and environmental records, to produce energy, but no way are we going to allow Americans. It's a sort of sleight of hand accounting trick because they can claim our emissions of CO2 aren't as high now because, look, we're not drilling, but all they're doing is offshoring our emissions as an accounting trick and importing that oil instead of it going to American-made energy companies
absolutely.
And American jobs.
So Carly Shimkus then goes on to talk about a report she did, 21,000 jobs lost in the oil and natural gas industries since Biden took office. That is a bloodbath. But that's part of the plan. They haven't replaced any of them. Remember, they promised they would replace them, Keystone Pipeline, and then on and on and on. They never replaced them. Why not? Well, that's part of the plan.
Well, you know, they've been told by the climate activists and the administration, they should learn new skills. Don't worry, we'll retrain you. In a way, this is a perfect part of what the Biden administration is trying to do. If they can make these workers now more dependent on Joe Biden's federal government for handouts, for guaranteed annual income, the Biden administration thinks, wait, we can win these voters back over because we'll make them dependent on us. They take away their jobs, they turn their jobs over to Venezuela, to OPEC, to China, and instead, these people are then relying on a guaranteed annual income from the government, which the Biden administration is more than happy to provide. So in a perverse way, it's all part of their plan. And these are real Americans hurting. And as you mentioned, it's not like the Biden administration's opposed to energy extraction and drilling. Right. No, they're just opposed to it domestically for cheap political accounting tricks to claim that they're fighting global warming while offshoring all of this thing.
Yeah.
So
and if
this
the goal
is something
is,
that Americans Mark, have to recognize.
Absolutely. If the goal is climate change, a pipeline in the United States much cleaner than drilling in Venezuela.
Bingo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.